Tappers, let's get it. It is the Thursday edition of the Daily Tap for September 24th. We are chatting about some fun stuff today. It's not very Wisconsin focused today. My intention. Well, it is Wisconsin focused and it isn't. We're going to talk about if you would want to cheer for Trevor Bauer in Milwaukee, because I actually think it's a real possibility next year. And would you like to cheer for Trevor Bauer? Do you want Trevor Bauer on your team? Personally, I would love Trevor Bauer on the Milwaukee Brewers. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about if Tyler Harrow would be doing what he did last night if he were a Wisconsin Badger instead of a Kentucky Wildcat. We'll go through that. I know that that's like throwing salt in the wound for my Badger basketball fan friends. I know that most of them are over it. Some of them are not, but we'll talk about that. We will also chat a little bit about sort of any headlines, I guess, coming out from Packers Saints this week as we get closer to that game. We're going to talk, should I bet that team tomorrow on Tapping the Keg, not with Mitch Ross, but with Nolan Murphy. He's going to be joining me for a one-on-one, which we haven't done in, I think it's been, at least over a year, maybe more. I think it's been since, 3 years maybe? We did one because of a snowstorm. We couldn't leave our house, and we had to cancel, or we were going to cancel, and then Murph and I decided to do it. That's when I wasn't doing daily shows. I was at home, or my parents' home, shouldn't say my home. That was when I was classically living as a blogger in the basement. But yeah, kind of a, I don't want to call it a hodgepodge show, but definitely not a typical show because not a ton going on here in the sports world, at least at this point. We'll have a little more, obviously, tomorrow with Should I Bet My Team with Murph. All right, but let's get into Trevor Bauer. So Trevor Bauer is an enigma. I think Trevor Bauer is a guy that everyone has an opinion on. Even if you don't really watch baseball, you have an opinion on Trevor Bauer because he is just a unique individual. Trevor Bauer has had some things that he said politically that I think have been divisive. I think Trevor Bauer has also done some dumb shit. Remember, he cut his hand fucking around with a drone in a playoff game. Trevor Bauer also chucked a ball into center field and got his ass traded the next day. And Trevor Bauer has been very outspoken against baseball's sort of the way they've done it. He's definitely a challenger. Like, he definitely is not someone who is going to just go by the societal norms. He is someone who is going to challenge how things have been done. And it's really something special to see. You don't see athletes who are this outspoken about how their organization runs things, but Bauer has went to quote-unquote war with Scott Boras. He has also spoken out against Rob Manfred. He's spoken out against the Astros. Trevor Bauer is a guy that lives that no-filter lifestyle. Now, he dominated the Milwaukee Brewers on Wednesday. He had 12 strikeouts. He only allowed one run, and the guy was just a beast. And he did the Conor McGregor walk after he had struck out Christian Yelich in the sixth inning. And Bauer has that sort of where he'll piss you off. And I'm not surprised. And like, he bothers you when you're watching him, you know, play against your team. But when he's not playing against your team, when he's doing all this other shit, you're like, man, that's some fire, that's some energy, and you really just love to see it. And Bauer is a free agent at the end of this year. Now, Bauer has said in the past, and I don't know if this will hold true because the guy could win the Cy Young this year, but he has said, I'm not going to take any long-term deals. I don't want to be a long-term deal guy. I want to maximize my value and go for 3 years, go for 2 years instead of a 5 or 6 year contract. Whether I believe that or not, we'll see. I mean, he is going to be highly coveted, even with all the things we outlined. There are so many teams that could use Trevor Bauer, And it's not lost on me the fact that Bauer is thriving with Derek Johnson as his pitching coach, the former Brewers pitching coach, who I think is a savant and probably the best pitching coach in all of baseball. And if I were a team, I would be trying to hire Derek Johnson immediately to, you know, maybe not be the manager. But if I were like the Dodgers or I were the Yankees, I think would really thrive with Johnson. I think that would be a team I would just throw so much money at him to get him to come over from Cincinnati. Now, granted, he went to Cincinnati because of being closer to Nashville, which closer to his family. But there's never really been that answer of why he left Craig Counsell. And if Craig Counsell and him, you know, butted heads, that's never been known. And I would love to have that story. That's a story that I wish we had, you know, a boots on the ground journalist that would actually get that story for us. Or maybe they have, and they're just, they've ran into dead ends and people keep it tight-lipped because Craig Counsell is kind of Wisconsin Milwaukee's boy. Like, he's the number one boy, if we were to use a line from Succession, because he's just been that old school, you know, that hometown kid who's thrived and had that glow up. And you rarely say anything bad about Craig Counsell. And who knows, maybe it was Derek Johnson that was there and the Brewers are trying to protect him. Regardless, it's just one of those things that you wish Derek Johnson was still with the Brewers. Derek Johnson was incredible. I think Chris Hook has done a really good job with the Brewer pitching staff. I don't think there's been a lot with Chris Hook that I've been frustrated with. I will say that the idea of Adrian Hauser still being out there in a must-win game is a bit puzzling to me. And when Hauser struggled immediately and how bad he's been against lefties, like, why the fuck wasn't Brent Suter? Why wouldn't you use Hauser in a different scenario? So Hauser coming out of the bullpen, use Suter as an opener. He is stretched out. Like, why not have Suter pitch 3 or 4 innings today? Or have Freddie Peralta start the game and go with Hauser in the middle? I just think Hauser's a wreck right now. I don't know how you can pitch Hauser moving forward. And I think he is planned to maybe pitch the final day of the year. And that just, I vehemently disagree with. I think that will be a major mistake if the Brewers do in fact go with Hauser on that Sunday. Because I think you're just writing your death sentence if you need that game to win to advance into the playoffs. But back to Trevor Bauer. I kind of went down a rabbit hole there because I wanted to talk about Derek Johnson, and then it got into my little tiff on Adrian Hauser. But Trevor Bauer will be a free agent at the end of this year. Trevor Bauer has said before how much he really likes Milwaukee. I've mentioned this a couple times in a podcast, but worth bringing it up again. Trevor Bauer has mentioned, like, yeah, when it's, you know, when things were normal, like, I loved the riverfront. Like, I loved walking around Milwaukee. I like that city. Trevor Bauer does have a sort of connection with Milwaukee, even though I believe he's a California or Arizona kid. He enjoys what Milwaukee brings to the table. So with that said, I actually think Brewer fans would embrace Bauer. I think they would love that sort of energy, that sort of firepower. It's more football-esque. So, and I think, like, most Brewer fans are Packer fans, and it's kind of synonymous. And so I feel like having a Bauer-like pitcher on the mound would be a good thing. I don't think he is similar to what you have with Corbin Burns or Brandon Woodruff. He's definitely different, no question about it. But you have a rotation of Bauer, Woodruff, Burns. That, to me, is a playoff rotation. That is a rotation that can win you anywhere from 60 games. You know, that's a little intense. But seriously, like, that's a really good rotation. That's three guys that could easily be all-stars. And that is dominant right there. And if Bauer is true to his word and he only wants to do three-year deals and you can get him for 3 years and $75 million, you fucking do it. Like, that is a good deal, and you know he likes Milwaukee. So you're going into it wondering if Bauer is actually a realistic option for the Brewers next year. I think he is. And I don't think there's anything about, like, loyalty with him. I think Trevor Bauer doesn't care. I don't think he gives a shit. I think he wants who's going to give him, A, enough money, and then, B, what experience is he going to get out of it. Like, I don't think he would handle New York well. I don't think, like, I saw something where it's like, get him to Queens. I think KFC Barstool had that. And while a combination of Bauer and DeGrom would be fucking filthy, I don't know how Bauer would do with the New York media. I just feel like that is a recipe for a disaster. But in Milwaukee, where he's mostly protected, I think Bauer would actually thrive, and I think he'd be really good with the Brewers. So I am all in on that. And yes, I would cheer for Trevor Bauer. I hope Trevor Bauer is part of the Brewers' offseason plans. I think he should be, and just make that rotation even better. And some would say, well, we don't need it. We have Josh Lindblom. We have, maybe we bring back Brad Anderson. Fuck that. Like, I think Bauer is a guy who could easily take the Brewers to another level and bring them back to that sort of 86 to 93 win team versus the 80 win team that they were projected to be this year in a normal regular season. So continuing on with our enigma show, shall we say, Tyler Herro is also an enigma. Tyler Herro is an interesting dude, right? Because there's a couple things at play. Number one, he helped eliminate the Bucks. He played a role. I wouldn't say it was a large role. I think Jay Crowder, Marquette grad, had more to do with the elimination than Tyler Herro. But Tyler Herro did have some moments against the Milwaukee Bucks. He didn't have a moment like he had last night. He went off for 37 points against the Boston Celtics, had 5 threes, was absolutely the star of the show. He did something that no other 20-year-old has done before. He had more points than Magic Johnson did in his iconic performance at age 20. Now, comparing Tyler Herro to Magic Johnson is a little intense, but it's clear that Tyler Herro is a star, and he's a guy that could be a amazing second banana, or maybe, I don't know if he's at first banana level, we'll see, but like Tyler Herro and Jimmy Butler could be a future contender every year, and it's just another team that the Bucks are going to have to deal with on a regular basis. That part is very frustrating. The other part of it where it makes Wisconsinites sort of queasy about Herro is that he spurned Wisconsin. I'm sure you guys know the story by now, but if not, pull up a chair and sit down and let Uncle Charles tell you. So Tyler Herro was committed to Wisconsin for a while. And Tyler Herro was going to be a Wisconsin Badger. It seemed he was tweeting back and forth with guys like Sam Decker, I believe Dario Ogunbowale, and others or Nigel Hayes. Remember that? Nigel Hayes and him had a very good Twitter relationship. I don't know why I brought in Dario. I know he's really good friends with Decker, and who knows. But anyways, it was Nigel Hayes was the guy I was thinking of. So Nigel Hayes and him had it seemed like a done deal. But we know in college sports that done deals are never actually done. Shout out to Shaka Smart. Something fell through the cracks right before the season, and Herro had left. Now, a lot of my Badger friends who I talked to about Tyler Herro complained that they just wish he would have done it earlier. Herro bouncing out in late September didn't give the Badgers an opportunity to bring someone else in because everybody had been snatched up by then. My buddy Dovis points out the fact that if Herro had decided he didn't want to be a Badger in July of that year, they could have had a real shot at Tyrese Haliburton, who the Badgers were recruiting but did not have scholarships left. Haliburton, as you know, went to Iowa State. He is considered to be anywhere from a top 5 to a top 10 pick whenever we do have the NBA draft. From my estimation, it's happening in 2023. So Herro then quits on the Badgers. A lot of Badger fans had vitriol for him, mostly because he went to Kentucky. Let's be real here. If he had went to North Carolina, maybe North Carolina, Florida would be another one, or Arizona. Arizona, the Badgers have had some success against. But because he went to Kentucky, and there is this weird rivalry between the Badgers and the Wildcats, as well as the Badgers and the Blue Devils, in the same vein of the two Final Fours that the Badgers have went to. The Badgers lost to Kentucky on that game-winning shot in year one in just an incredible game. To me, one of the best basketball games I've watched from start to finish college-wise. You don't always get that out of Final Four games. That Final Four game was fucking incredible. And so was the second one. I know I'm not a Badger fan, and I didn't necessarily root for Wisconsin in 2015, but that taking down a undefeated Kentucky team was equally incredible by Wisconsin. And then the Duke game that followed, where I'm wondering if I'm going to have to deal with my Badger fan friends, you know, championing a national champion, and then things just completely go to shit after the Badgers have a 9-point lead, partly due to a, you know, questionable call, shall we say. But anyways, yeah, that's kind of how the rivalry of the Duke-Wisconsin and Kentucky-Wisconsin developed. And so the fact that Harrow did it for Kentucky for a year, and he had a decent career, obviously got him drafted in the lottery, you wonder if he would have done this with Wisconsin. And you just, it's probably not the case, right? Hero wouldn't have been allowed to kind of let his freak flag fly at Wisconsin. And you're like, well, wait, what? And it's, but seriously, like, he would not have been allowed to be sort of this free range guy that he was at Kentucky. And he wouldn't have had that feeling of the ability to go out after his first year. Guys at Wisconsin don't do that. That doesn't usually happen. And I think where guard and Hero clash, and I think this is what led, and this is pure speculation on my behalf, but Hero said to him, like, hey, look, I expect to be a starter next year. Can you promise that I'm a starter next year? And guard was probably like, code that company Badger line. It was like, well, I don't promise starting jobs to anyone. Like, you know, even our seniors have to work for them to be a starter. We're not just giving out starter roles like candy. And Hero then said, yeah, John Calipari's telling me I can be a starter. John Calipari's saying, like, I'm going to get 30-plus minutes. Like, can you at least promise me that? Well, again, guard probably went through the same rigmarole. So then Hero's like, well, fuck this. I'm going to go to Kentucky. I don't need Wisconsin. I'm just going to go play for the Wildcats. And so when he did that, I think a lot of Wisconsin fans were like, wow, this is a complete stabbing in the back, and won't cheer for him in the pros. I mean, the guy got fucking booed at his second NBA game at the Fiserv Forum because there were a lot of Badger fans in attendance. He became an enemy based on a lot of people who are Bucks fans and Badger fans. I wouldn't say they're as synonymous as Brewers and Packer fans, because there are some Marquette fans thrown in there. Shout out to my UWM fans, Henningsen and Fogle and all those guys. So those guys exist. But the fact of the matter is like, Harrow got booed out the gates, but Harrow's cold, man. Like, I don't know how you can cheer against Tyler Harrow. Like, I really don't. I mean, the guy's a fucking bucket. He's awesome to watch. He is similar to Jamal Murray in terms of just when he gets hot, it's like, look out. And the guy just does not quit, and he's fearless. Like, I'm sure it's annoying for Wisconsin fans to be like, this guy could have been a Badger. Like, Big Cat had the tweet yesterday, like, in an alternate universe, it's like former Badger Tyler Harrow. And like, yeah, and maybe I would fucking hate Tyler Harrow if he were a Badger. That's the weird thing about it, right? If he were a Badger, would I just hate his guts right now? So he is such a fascinating person because of just all those, what we talked about and how we mentioned that he is an enigma. And it's really fun to watch him. And I'm really interested to see what the final outcome is for Harrow in this bubble. If the Heat get it done, I actually think the Celtics will win in Game 5. But I've been wrong on every spread for the NBA for what seems like the last week. We'll probably talk a little bit more about that in the segment with Murph. Wrapping up the show, just with a couple of Packers news and notes as we get to the finish line. You have everyone thinking Drew Brees is washed. I wrote about that on SunTapWI.com today. You can go read it. I do not like that one bit. That to me is like a red flag of Drew Brees just going fucking bananas and just beating the Packers. So I do not like that at all. I would prefer us to not have any Drew Brees is washed conversation. It seems like Devontae Adams will play. I don't think he will be out. All indications seem like he's going to be good to go. Who knows if he will be 100%. Hamstrings are funny, man. And the last thing I would want is him to re-injure it. But we'll see. And hopefully he'll be able to be 90 to 100%. Packers definitely do need him against that Saints secondary, although I do think they're vulnerable across the middle. So maybe Adams' impact isn't as much as it is in other games. And they were able to do it without him, given a big game from Aaron Jones. But this Aaron Jones game would have to be through the air, not on the ground, because the Saints just do. We talked about that on, I think, Tuesday. Aaron, they don't stop. They do not allow many people to get going. They are run stoppers first, and they do a really good job with it. There are also a headline about Billy Turner, trying to figure out where Billy Turner fits into that offensive line. Man, I hate to like feel like Billy Turner got Wally pipped, but like you can't really fuck up a good thing right now. If Billy Turner is ready to go, great, but right now the Packers have an excellent offensive line, and Rodgers is, I think, been the second least hit of all the quarterbacks. So how can you really replace any of those five guys right now? I think Turner has to stay on the sidelines until further notice. Now, if Corey Linsley can't go because of the sprained thumb, then yeah, insert Turner right in there, right guard. The fact the Packers are so deep at the offensive line position is part of the reason that's fueling their success. And the fact the Packers are able to just, you know, mix and match and figure out what combinations work is incredible and part of the reason that's driving their success. And I think, as Pete Bukowski pointed out, and a question I might have for Murph tonight is the whole idea of this offensive line being deep, does it justify not paying David Bakhtiari $22 million a year? I don't know. It's interesting, right? Like, it is not as obvious to pay Bakhtiari, I think, as it once were. And the fact that Elgton Jenkins has shown himself as a tackle, it's like if Jenkins can play right left tackle as well or similar to Bakhtiari, then great. And we've seen the Packers just refuse to pay guys the third time around on the offensive line. Although I think there would be major outrage if Bakhtiari did not get signed. And I'm not trying to spin zone it. You guys know, like, you guys are like, oh, here he goes, carrying the water for the Green Bay Packers. Not really, just I'm less convinced that they should pay Bakhtiari than I was maybe a couple weeks ago. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say is, like, there's a case to be made against paying him, and I don't know if that was existed 2 weeks ago. So we'll see how it continues. And I realize that Bakhtiari is one of the reasons why the Packers offensive line is so successful. So it's not lost on me, guys. All right. And lastly, you know, I think just Rodgers' comments on mental health were great. I think that is something we all need, and we all need to hear our star athletes show that vulnerable side and show that they're humans too and not robots. And I think sometimes we forget that our athletes are not robots and they have opinions and they want to speak out. I do think some of the things they say are a little bit misinformed at times and that they need a little more research before opening up their mouth. But that's life. I think that happens to us all the time. We as humans do that, right? Like, I mean, I say stuff to my fiance or I say stuff to my close friends that maybe I should really do more research on before I open my mouth. But I do think that's unfortunate, and only because these guys have a much larger platform than I do. So I wish we were a little more careful on some of the stuff we say, but all in all, Rodgers always seems to know what to say. And that's what makes part of Aaron Rodgers' greatness is not only what he does on the field, but off the field. Aaron Rodgers is so, so thoughtful, and he knows exactly the right thing to say time and time again. And that is not the case for so many athletes. So I appreciate Aaron Rodgers and appreciate what he said about mental health. All right, that does it for us today. Like I said, Nolan Murphy in the building, 387 for Tapping the Keg. We will do Should I Bet That as our first segment, and then talk probably Brewers, maybe some Bucks trades that I want to throw at him, even though I hate Murph's NBA takes more than I hate black licorice. All right, take care of yourself. Have a good one. Bye.